I walked by the tomb of Buddha, and I looked inside, and I saw his bones. And I traveled on to see Muhammad. He was still wrapped up in his grave clothes. Then I journeyed to a garden where old Joseph left him lay. The precious lamb, God's own begotten, was no longer in that grave. If you knew him like I know him, you would know that he's alive. If you felt him like I inside, you know that he's living and death has died. If you're wandering in the darkness, come and step into the light. Nail scarred they reach out to help you, to pull you safe from death to life. See, friend, I too have stood where you stand. Could I trust in things unseen? But just one step in his direction, then in love he ran to me. If you knew him like I know him, you would know that alive.
To see all of you out with us today. Go ahead and stand with me if you will. We're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs again. We're going to be there for several weeks and give a shout out to Mom and Dad. Mom and Dad made it in with us. It's been a long time waiting on Mom and Dad to feel comfortable coming in, and so we're so glad they're here. They've been watching us online and making sure the preacher don't mess it up, so it's good to have them with us. I'm going old school today. I forgot my new glasses, so I'm going old school. I'm going to have to do a lot of this, so just forgive me. We're going to look in Proverbs. We're going to read the first seven verses again, beginning in 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Our Father, again, we just come to you today. We're thanking you for just the privilege to be here. How blessed we are to have a place, a sanctuary that we can come and unite together and hear folks lift up a praise, a psalm to you, and to hear testimonies, to hear your word preached and taught. We are so blessed, and we don't want to forget that, God. We don't want to forget those little things and those beautiful things each day that we sometimes take for granted. Thank you for this place that we have to worship you. Thank you for your word. And the book of Proverbs that we're diving into for the next few weeks, that you'll open up our understanding. Give us wisdom, God, that we can know you better. Give us knowledge that we can make decisions, God, that will be glorifying of your name. Forgive me of my sins. Use me for your glory. Everything we do, we want to do it for the cause of Christ and your kingdom. In whose name we pray, amen. When we think about Proverbs, and I know we talked a little bit, we kind of gave an introduction about what wisdom kind of is last week, but now let's get into the book of Proverbs. We're basically going to focus on verse number 8 to the end of chapter number 1 and try to knock out a lot of that, but the book of Proverbs, the first 9 chapters are basically broke up into about 10 different speeches that are given from a father to a son, and four different poems that are presented to us from who we continue to call Lady Wisdom. So that's what happens in the first 9 chapters. So it's kind of setting us up to prepare us for the continuing list of Proverbs from chapter 10 all the way to the end of the book, which are a lot of Proverbs. Solomon, we know, wrote a lot of them. There are other people that wrote some as well. They're known as the wise men or the wise people that added some, contributed some as well. Agur, I believe, is the name of another man that wrote one, and Lemuel, who we read that one on Mother's Day, who wrote that, and that was literally a proverb that his mother wrote to him. So there's a collection of a lot of wise people that God had put together to come up with the book of Proverbs that we have. I want to give you quick background history. We're going to go through this fairly quick if we can to get into the meat of chapter number one. But in 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 9, it says, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by the night, and he said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.' And Solomon said, 'Thou hast shown unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. Thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I'm but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude.' Then he said, 'Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people?'" And if you go over to 1 Chronicles 22 and 12, you'll see that King David, as he knew his days were limited, he knew he was about to die, and he knew that Solomon was going to be the next king over Israel, David literally said the same thing that Solomon just said. He said, my son Solomon, God, I pray that you grant him wisdom and knowledge so that he may rule your people." So it wasn't just only something that Solomon asked for, but in Chronicles we go back and see that his father David had already prayed for that God grant him this, but while Solomon was still young. And so how beautiful it is, we see that progression of that thought that came in the heart of David, that he wanted his son Solomon to rule as a godly man. So he prayed for wisdom and knowledge to be passed on to his son. That shows me I need to be praying for my kids more. I need to be praying for my grandchildren. We need to be praying for those that we have influence in, our young people, our young folks in church. We need to be praying for them that God will instill wisdom and knowledge into them, because one day, they're going to be assuming these roles that we have now. They're going to be making decisions, and oh, we need godly leadership. So let's pray for our young people. Just as David prayed for his son, let's pray for our young people that as they grow and as they mature and step in positions of leadership, that they'll have that godly wisdom and that godly knowledge. 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 29 said, "God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men, than Ethan, Ezrite, than Hermon, Chakal, Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all nations round about." And it says he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. So he wrote a lot more than we have contained in the book of Proverbs, but these were compiled by Hezekiah that we see and put together with other books, other proverbs that people had written. So Proverbs is a unique book. It's completely different than all the other books in the Bible because of what it contains. When we go back and we kind of recap very quickly what we read in verses number 2 through 6 of chapter number 1, just want to make a point about the work that goes into receiving wisdom. We know in James that God said, "Any of you that lack wisdom, pray, and God gives it liberally to anybody that'll ask." That's biblical, right? James said it, so we know it's biblical. We know that that's true. But James didn't describe to us that there is a sacrifice on our part if we want to, in receiving that wisdom and attaining that wisdom and keeping that wisdom. That it's not just, "God, just give me wisdom, just pour it all over me." It needs to be a change of a heart, a condition of the heart, a desire of the heart to want to strive to be godly. So when we look in verse number 2, real quick, he said, to know wisdom. So we need to know it. We have a desire to know it. Verse number 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom. So it's something we're going to listen to and we're going to be respond to it well. Verse 4, we're going to give subtly to the simple. So we're going to impart that wisdom to other people. Verse 5, a wise man's going to hear and will increase his learning. So we're going to increase, we're going to build on what wisdom God has given us. In verse 6, we're going to understand a proverb interpretation. So there's going to be a lot of things that go into you and I really getting godly wisdom. It's not just like getting a box and opening it up, boom, I got wisdom. But there, with anything godly in our relationship with God, it requires work on our part. Salvation is free. Didn't cost you anything, cost Jesus everything. But once we build that relationship with Christ, that's why he said, take up your cross daily and follow me. It's the sacrifice we must make to be in that right relationship with God. Okay, now let's look at these proverbs. When we think about them, I don't want to confuse anybody, and I don't want to make you think that I don't believe that proverbs are important. They are very important, but I want you to understand that the book of Proverbs, be careful how we look at the Proverbs. We can't look at them as we do hard, fast law and hard, fast promises of God. The book of Proverbs deals with high possibilities. It's kind of like a how to live a good life for dummies, in a way. It's kind of what Proverbs is all about, okay? If you want to live a good godly life, then these are the things that you're going to add to your life. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're already disappointed. You're thinking, wait a minute, David, you're saying that these are not command, these are not laws, these are not promises of God, because I know we've all used a lot of these, and we've used them in the sense of being a promise from God. Let me explain before you start throwing rotten tomatoes at me, because I hate tomatoes. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4 says this, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Is every person that works hard rich? No. No. Okay. Bear with me. I know I'm busting some of y'all's bubbles today. I know that's not what you didn't want. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Does everybody that's godly live a long life? No. So again, we're starting to understand and grab the truth that Proverbs are about high probability. So just by that being said, don't discount what Proverbs has to offer. And don't think, well, if it's not guaranteed 100%, then why do we even have Proverbs? Because it teaches us how to live a wise, godly life. We need that. Because a lot of times in my life, I'm dumb as a box of rocks. I need all the help I can get. And so Proverbs teach me how to live this godly life. And this one I know we've all used, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Do all children that are raised under a godly home always honor God with their life and come back? Not all do. So I don't want to discourage you by reading these things, but I want us to understand what Proverbs are all about. They're about high probability. They're about living the good life, living the godly life. Proverbs are hope. So I don't want you to think, I looked at that as a promise. I've lived that as a promise, and if I train my children, when they get old, they're not going to depart from it, and I'm expecting them to come back. Don't stop expecting them to come back. You pray just as hard as you've always prayed. Don't think that, don't let them become a statistic and give up on them. Don't think that because this is not a hard, fast promise and law from God that it's not possible. It is about high possibility. Continue to feed kids the truth. Continue to show them and teach them. Stephen died young. He was stoned. He was killed for the cause of Christ. He didn't get to live to have that old life and life where he imparted wisdom to other people. So again, They're not hard, fast laws or hard, fast promises, but they are highly probable that if we listen to what God says, the majority of the time, 99.999% of the time, things are going to work out the way the proverb shares with us that it's going to work out. If you want to talk about that later, we'll talk about it. If that confuses you, if you got questions about how I look at the book of Proverbs, yeah, let's get together and talk about it later. I'd love to do that, but I got to move on right now because we've got a lot of scripture to read. The first speech that is given from the father to the son begins in verse number 8, and he shares a few important points before we get into the first poem that's shared from Lady Wisdom. Proverbs 1, 8, and 9 say, my son, and just think about us sitting around in the living room and a father sitting in his old chair and the son sitting on the ground there beside him. He's talking to his son and he's starting to impart some of these truths to him. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament. An ornament here is like a wreath or a decoration, something. You know, it's kind of like if we've got a big shiny gold necklace and we want to wear it, it's something that's going to accent who we are. You see, he's saying, let this be as an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. So we see that wisdom, there's a lot of wealth to be had in wisdom. If we live a wise life, we are going to have far less problems. Well, I'll say it like this. If we choose to live the life of wisdom and honor these proverbs that are filled within this book, then we can't prevent things from coming in our life, but we can sure prevent a lot of the dumb things that we choose to do that bring hardships in our life. That's where the probability comes in. I can't stop circumstances in my life from happening. I can't stop somebody from getting mad at me or upset me. I can't, stop a lot of things that are just going to happen naturally, but I sure can affect the things that I choose to do that causes harm or hurt to other people. If we choose to live a life of wisdom, there's great wealth in it. Just like when Jesus talked about two men that built homes and one built on the solid rock and one built on the sand. To us, it's kind of obvious, right? Which one to choose? What do we need? If I'm going to build something, what do I want to build it in? Yeah, let's go build it down by the ocean. That's a great place to build stuff. We know it's elementary, right? I mean, we think, come on, anybody knows better than to build on the sand. But do we? Do we really? If we're living a life of wisdom, there's great wealth to be gained by wisdom, and it will save us cost, obviously, in the end, to build on the rock. That is wisdom, my friend. All right, let's look on, beginning in verse number 10 of Proverbs 1. He's talking for these next few verses to verse 16 about avoiding wickedness. Now, this is a father to a son. And you know, I've heard this from my father, and I've said this to my sons. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave. This is terrible. And whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us and let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. As parents, we say that to our children. As children, we've heard it from our parents that love us and care for us. Stay away from bad influences. Stay away from people that are going to cause you harm. Stay away from that. How many times have we said, don't run around with that boy? Don't run around, hang around with that girl. They're bad news. There's wisdom in that. But as a kid, we don't get it. We don't get it as children. Why? Because we think they're cool and they're fun. And whatever part of group it is that we become a part of, we think it's so much fun. We don't understand. All we think is that our parents are trying to keep us from having fun in life. till we get to a certain age and we say, oh my goodness, my parents were genius. Every child that has a godly parent that says these things to them will have to admit their parents were genius. Usually it happens when you have children. And you start saying these same things to them. Don't you run around with that one. They'll get you in trouble. But parents have experienced things. They've gone through things. They see things. And I think Proverbs is basically a beautiful collection. And it's really designed for the young. I think it's designed for those young people as they begin to step out into life. Proverbs are a way to teach us things that can be elementary, that seem to be common and simple, but sometimes we need to be reminded of them because we just don't get it. And so the dad is talking to his son saying, stay away from these bad influences. Jonadab is a person in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Not a whole lot said about him, but Ammon, who was a half-brother of Absalom and Tamar, a brother and sister, he was half-brother to them, he lusted over Tamar, his half-sister, okay? And so he wanted her. And this Jonadab, who is a great friend, came to him and he said, here's what you do. You act like you're sick. Okay. You say, I don't want anybody coming in and nursing me and taking care of me except her. She's going to come in, and then there you go. Yeah, it's a setup. That's how you do it. Everybody needs a great friend like Jonadab, don't they, right? Because that's exactly what Ammon did. And I'm not going to get gory with the details, but yes, he took advantage of his half-sister. Then he kicked her out to the curb. And that's what made Absalom so mad and began his revolt against his father David. The story goes on and on. It's like a soap opera. But look at the influence that this guy had in that helping him devise a plan to literally rape his half-sister. That's the kind of people we don't need to be hanging out with. And so God is trying to teach us these things. The father to the son says, stay away from those people. It's going to be harm for you. And I know that we think we know everything. I did at 17. I knew it all. But my parents were genius. And we need to listen to wise counsel as they speak to us and try to teach us to avoid these kind of influences in our life, because I'm going to tell you something that's going to keep you from a lot of hardship in life if we choose. The older I get, you know what I like? Boring. The older I get, the more I appreciate, you know, you look at my life. What do? I come over here to the church 5, 6, 7 days a week, go home. I'm boring, but I love boring. Because boring keeps me out of a lot of problems. Sometimes we can get ourselves stretched so far out there that we are inviting those negative influences and ungodly influences in our life. And so a father to a son, wait a minute, girls, I need to go ahead and say this, not excluding you.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Scotty, Chris, amen on that? Yeah, don't exclude you girls. It's just representative of a father speaking to a son, but it goes to all of us saying we need to avoid these kind of people. Then verse number 17, Proverbs 1, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. One quick thing to make notice of here is the word blood is used a lot here. What he's trying to do is get us to see the seriousness of the matter and what is at stake and what the problems can arise when we continue to disobey God and listen to these negative and ungodly influences. But what he's saying right here is, you're going to cast a net before a bird, and the bird's going to see it, but they're wanting to lie wait and sneaky and stealth in order to gain the blood of those that are around them and take advantage of them. Harmless bird, somebody wanting to kill it just for sport or just for cruelty or any animal, that's what he alludes to here. And he's talking about how people will desire to ruin your life. just because of what you stand for, because of what they think you stand for. People will try to be your best friend. What is that old saying? A mule will serve you most of its life to have one good shot to kick you. Hey, Satan is subtle. He's subtle. He knows he don't have a long time, but he knows he does have time. And so he don't have to come in with a pitchfork and forked tail and horns to present himself to you. He will become an angel of light and try to become your best friend to get you to slowly compromise and influence you in your life. That's what he wants to do. And so we need to understand the seriousness of it. That's what he's talking about here. That we, you may think you're not a target. You ever think, well, who am I? Devil don't care about me. Who am I? I don't teach a class. Who am I? I don't sing in a choir. Who am I? I've not been called to preach. Who am I? I'll tell you what you are. If you're saved, you're a child of the King is what you are. So you are a threat to his kingdom. He hates you. He despises you. And he will do everything he can to destroy your life. We are hated by association. Joseph had a coat of many colors, didn't he? We might as well go ahead and all of us just have a coat of many colors because we're labeled. We have a bullseye on us. We are children of God if we're saved, and you have become a target of him. So don't think he don't care about you. Don't think you're unimportant. Don't think you're not really a threat to his kingdom and he's not going to waste his time and energy on you, because that's when somebody is going to be attacked, is when they think they're not going to be attacked. We get lazy. We get idle. When we get to thinking about other things, then we become that target. Next, in verse number 19, so are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Psalm 62:10 goes along with this same thought. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, and here it is, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. So don't, the Father's saying to the Son, don't be fooled, don't get caught with the wrong crowd, and don't let riches be something that drives your life. It's one thing to want to provide for your family, which I think is commendable. We need to be good stewards. We need to understand we need to provide for our homes and our families, and we need to do all that we can to work a good hard day to earn a day's wage to provide for our family. But don't let riches become the thing that drives you. Otherwise, we'll become like Achan, and we will be so smitten with all these sparkly things that we'll disobey God to embrace this material stuff. And there's going to be a great cost when we do so. Yeah, the Father spoke to the Son in great wisdom, and we need to take heed to this as well. Don't let things drive your life, but let your life be patterned after wisdom and do the things God desires you to do. That's the first speech. Now let's look at the first poem from Lady Wisdom, verse number 20 of Proverbs 1. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. I want you to make note of where all she's crying at. She cries in the streets. She cries in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words. And here's who she's calling out to. So we've already made a statement that she's basically, wisdom is crying out everywhere. There's not a place wisdom is not going to be declared and saying, come unto me, come unto me. You know, she's got a megaphone. Come unto me. So here, and who is she crying out to? How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And to the scorners delight in their scorning, and to the fools that hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you, and I will make known my words unto you. I love it that wisdom is being blared out to everybody and anybody that will hear. Anybody that will bend an ear, wisdom is here for us. Nobody's excluded from Wisdom's Call. Everybody is invited to come and sit down at Jesus' table. Everybody's invited to be saved. I love it that we don't have to be a certain kind of person. We don't have to speak a certain language or whatever. You don't have to have a certain bloodline. But anybody that will heed and listen, wisdom is calling, and we can attain to wisdom, and we can receive wisdom, and we can be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that is a promise. But we need to heed those words and think about this promise that wisdom offers as she calls out to us, to anybody and to everybody, and she calls in all places. So here's the issue with that. When we get in verse 24, we find out that none of us are without excuse. If she's going to make it known to us how to gain wisdom, then we are going to be without excuse if we reject it. Verse 24, because I've called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. You know what she's going to do? I told you so. That's what wisdom's going to do. I told you so. I told you. But I think wisdom is also going to be broken. God is always broken. He's not making fun of us when we sin and when we fall. He's always there to gather up the fragments and put us back together. But oh my goodness, God could stand and tell us, I told you so, moment by moment by moment. Because God offers wisdom, God offers salvation, God offers peace and joy and blessings if we'll just listen to Him. But we get so stubborn, don't we? I get things set in my mind, I think I know what's right. God's saying, son, listen, you don't know what's right. I know exactly what's right. And if you'll trust in me and listen to me, don't let our lives become what it is in this poem where we are listening to wisdom to say, I told you, I told you. If you'd only listened to me, these things would not have happened to you in your life. But we're without excuse. We don't have an excuse, nothing to stand on. I can't blame anybody if I don't have wisdom in my life, except guess who? Me. Proverbs 1:28. Then shall they call upon me. Oh, this is scary. But I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. There comes a day when God says, enough's enough. I've called you all I'm going to call you. I'm not going to call you anymore. We know when you're reading the book of Romans, he talks about a conscience being seared with a hot iron. But those have been turned over to what the Bible calls a reprobate mind to continue to do those things which are unseemly and ungodly and evil and wicked. Then there comes a time when God will convict his last time. That's a scary thought. Thank God you're here. Thank God you're here. Thank God somebody dragged you here or you got up and came here. Thank God you're here. There's hope. There's hope as long as we are hearing that call to repentance and that conviction, as long as we're hearing that, as long as we're sensing that and feeling that and understanding that that's here, there is hope. But there will come a day that God will convict his last. But, verse number 33, wisdom, Lady Wisdom says, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. There is hope. It is scary to think that someone could get to a point in their life with a spirit is going to stop convicting them because they've gone so far that they're just not going to accept, and it's known that they've rejected Jesus Christ and his saving grace. They've completely, it's scary to think somebody could get to that point. But yes, there are people walking around today that have gotten to that point. But God will exhaust every avenue he can before that moment ever comes to offer salvation, forgiveness, and allow us a chance to repent and get right with him. I'm not trying to scare you into heaven, because that's not a good tactic to use to get us into heaven, but I want you to understand the seriousness of the matter, but that as wisdom said, but if we will call, if we will reach out, if we will cry out, if we will pray, if we believe in him, oh, he's going to forgive us, and he's going to cleanse us, and he's going to save us, and he's going to use us. Today, we have an opportunity to make a difference in our lives for the kingdom of Christ. We have a chance today to come on here and get on this old altar and ask God to forgive us of our sins and to save our soul. Those that are already saved, we have a chance now to get those things in our lives, those influences, God, take them away, to pray earnestly and seriously about our life and our walk with God, to say, God, I want to walk in wisdom. Lady Wisdom, I hear you, and I'm responding to you. I want to do that. That needs to be our prayer today. Stand with me as we begin our invitation. Our Father, as we come to you today, we're so thankful for how rich the book of Proverbs is and how it's literally a love letter to us. It is. It's reaching out in love and drawing us closer to you. And it's instructing us, God, in how to live a godly life. It's showing us the great and possibilities that are ahead for those of us that believe in you. So today now, we are faced with a choice: to surrender to you or to reject your word. We got to make that choice today. If you're pleading with us, God, and I pray that you are, give us courage to step out and make that choice, to make that move and to trust you today. Kick Satan out of this place. Kick any other influences that might be in here, God, away, and let your Holy Spirit have his way in every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.